Now, musicians start solo. I mean, they usually do. This would be true of pretty much every budding artist picks up a stick or a pick or places their fingers on a keyboard. From learning the craft to finding their voice, the pursuit of creating music and broadcasting it to the world is a visceral and emotional outlet. Our next guest has traveled the world, had her music in the top 10 of the charts, met fans and artists from around the world, but has never released a solo debut record until now. Baby Velvet, aka Hannah Crofts, has delivered an album to our ears that will make you melt, make you think, and all the while flowing through your body with warm and rich tones. Please Don't Be In Love With Someone Else is the name of the debut record from Baby Velvet, and we're very stoked to have Hannah on the show right now. Hello, Hannah.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
Thanks for joining us here on The Tuck Shop. It's a real pleasure to talk to people, especially after they've just dropped their albums. It's always an exciting part of our job is to you know, talk to someone just after they've released it and it's buzzing and exciting. How are you feeling right now about the record being out in the world?
It feels good. It feels weird. It feels like I've had a baby, that it's been this long time coming that I've been thinking about every day forever, and now it's here. But it feels really good. It's really nice.
We've talked late recently to people like Annie Hamilton, Liza and Delusionals, Harvey Sutherland. They've all released their debut records. They said it's like a sense of relief, they say, like to have it out there. Like, and it's also like you don't own it anymore. It's like belongs to the people. Does it feel like that for you?
Well, I definitely think I have a philosophy that when you make music, you can't judge it too much because it's the kind of musician you were in that moment or who you were in that moment and what you wanted to say. So you can't overthink it because you just need to release it into the world and then it's its own thing. And then you need to work towards the next thing that you want to say and what you want to write. So I think it's nice to try and not have too much, I don't know, too much wrapped up in it.
Not too attached, you mean?
Yeah, I think so.
Having said that, you've worked on this for 3 years, and obviously that's a long time to be working on something. I'm sure it must be, you know, hard to, I guess, because you've listened to these songs obviously lots and lots of times. At what point do you get to where you're like, I've listened to them too much, I can't keep doing it, or I'll keep picking it apart, or do you just sort of have to draw a line in the sand for that?
Well, this week's been pretty cute because I live in a share house and my housemate Ali is in the room next door to me, and every time I walk past, she's just listening to the album on repeat. I've especially heard the album this week because it's always on next to me because she's just the sweetest and biggest fan.
She's racking up the Spotify plays for you. It's good.
Exactly. So I think at some point I'll be like knocking on the wall being like, hey, babe, turn it down.
Baby Velvet is such a great moniker for your solo project, and it sort of fits into the sound that you have. But where did it come from? Where did that name originate, and what does it evoke for you?
So Baby Velvet is my goddaughter. She is 4 years old, and her name is Velvet. And when I started this solo project, Velvet herself as a human has no anxiety and no fear, and she is just draped in leopard print at all times, and she's so funny and weird. And I just thought for my solo project, I really want to take the mentality into it that I don't have any – it's the fearless version of myself. Baby Velvet is a drag version of myself. It's bigger. I'm not scared. I'm loud. I'm wearing leopard print. So I just tried to channel her and thought I'll steal her name.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. And I'm sure you've played it to her. She'd be a bit old now, or she four now?
She's five now. Right. Yeah.
And, you know, she must be excited to have something named after her.
You're she right. gets a bit shy. Yeah. She gets a bit like, I don't understand what this is. I'm Baby Velvet.
Yeah, you can't be me. There's two of you.
Yeah, that's me. What are you talking about?
Cute. We love a long album title here at the Tuck Shop. There's been a few recently, but the title includes the word love. Please don't be in love with someone else. And there's a lot of songs related to love, but there's also a lot more subject matter going on here. Can you tell us about the headspace that you were in while you were recording this and over that period of time? Like, obviously, I think a lot of it was over COVID, but, you know, apart from that, how you sort of, what sort of parts of yourself went into this project?
So there's 10 songs on the album, and there's 9 songs about 9 different men. And included in those songs are the feelings of working in hospitality while being a musician and having financial insecurity, and especially during COVID, like wondering what you're going to do with your life and why it's a Tuesday and you're in your pajamas. So there's a lot of those themes. And the man who produced the record, Kevin Raderman, is in Los Angeles, and we made the album remotely. And I presented him the songs, and there was a different song on the record that we ended up cutting, and he was like, I don't understand, you're such a feminist and you love women and you've got 9 songs about men. And I was like, oh my God, that's true. So the song Love Letter that's on the album, we wrote in the process of the album, which is a love letter to women. I was like, yeah, okay, cool. So that's 9 songs about men and 1 song about women.
When you write songs about people, like, do they know that you've written songs about them? Is that, or you sort of don't have your contact anymore?
Well, one of the songs is called Benjamin Codwell, yes. And he is a very good friend of mine. And I did ask him beforehand, like I played him the song and said, is this okay? Which he agreed, and it's okay. He's got songs about me, so I feel like it's a two-way street, sure. You know. most of them would know that the songs were about them, or I was with them when I wrote them, or I don't know, their breakup songs that they would have heard. I kind of think it's fine. I think it's all part of the dating and musician thing.
I love it. Yeah. And it's real. I mean, obviously it's sharing a big part of you, and it's quite personal as well. But I mean, do you find any trepidation in doing that and putting it out in the world, that sort of personal side of you?
I'm 99% of the time don't. And then 1% of the time when I say something that's like pretty explicit, we'll have a moment of being like, yeah, not everybody will know what that is. And do I want to say that? But I think it's fine. I think that the more detailed you are and more specific, there's always someone who's going to have had a similar experience and really connect with it. And that's what makes it special.
Yeah. Now, we've talked about the ebbs and flows of the pandemic and how it's affected artists over the last few years. And we love finding the positives here at the Tuck Shop. And yours is sort of bittersweet in that you were sort of trapped in Australia, not being able to tour with all our exes live in Texas. But then you took that time to teach yourself some new skills, and that obviously contributed to this solo record being released. Can you tell us about that and how you sort of look for the positives during the pandemic?
Well, I definitely think this record, so I was supposed to go to LA and record it with Kevin, and then when that couldn't happen, we still decided to make it anyway. So we I bought Logic, a program on my computer, and I bought all the gear to set up like a makeshift recording studio in my bedroom and learn how to do it that way. And Kevin had never done a remote record either. So we spent a lot of time on Zoom, we spent a lot of time on WhatsApp, and just kind of both had to go through the process of learning how to make a record remotely. So I sent it back and forth. And I think that there's lots of reasons why that would have made this album special. And if we made it in the studio, it would have been very different. And I think, you know, neither one, it would be better or worse. I think it just meant that I learned all these new things and we had to make something in a way that we never had before.
Yeah, right. That's interesting that Kevin is obviously doing that for the first time as well. Obviously, he assisted with the production. He's known for working with Ray LaMontagne, My Morning Jacket, and Jenny O. Now, have you met him in person yet?
I have never met him before. I really want to meet him. The first time that I met him, met him on the phone, and he said to me, I just want you to know this is my 7th and final life, which is why it's such a good one. Oh, wow. And I was like, you're the most Los Angeles. Like, I reckon he sleeps with crystals under his pillow. Like, I'm proffing to meet him.
Oh, amazing. You got plans to head over there?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Los Angeles in November.
Oh, awesome. It seems like everyone's making plans to get out, which is exciting.
I can't go overseas again. I don't even remember.
I read that you sort of were drawn to Kevin because of the work you'd done with Jenny O. And, you know, obviously he's got a long list of amazing credits to his name. But what did he bring to your sound? And did he sort of, you know, help you with that recording process and almost teach you how to use the gear at home, or did he sort of manipulate it a bit when you sent it to him?
I mean, I was pretty specific with the sounds that I wanted on the album. I went with Kevin because he's got a real laid back surf rock Los Angeles, like Californian vibe. And I think that coming from X's, I still wanted to translate like the folk songwriting with the harmonies and the 3-part harmonies, but I really did want it to, in my mind, the songs really rock, and I knew that Kevin is a drummer by trade, so I knew that he could really bring that lazy drive cinematic kind of sound. Yeah. So I was pretty specific, especially with the vocals, and being like, this is exactly how I want these things to sound. But then, you know, like I don't really play guitar very well, and I had to get better at it, and I had to learn how to record that, and then I had to send it to him and like go back and forth. So he definitely taught me a lot of technical things about what I was doing and how we could do things better or just like differently, or yeah, it's really, really fun experience.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So no ukulele on the record then?
No, I've burnt that. I smashed it.
Are you serious?
No. This is just a rock and roll project. There's no ukulele.
I mean, if you're going to do that, you'd have to do it on stage, you know, in front of people. You know, that would be rock and roll.
I could light it on fire and lick it.
You could.
Next Blues Fest with X's.
Oh, yes. The crowd would go crazy. We're going to play a track now from the record, and it's one of my favorites on there. Like you say, there are some really rocky tracks on there. And the layering that you have on these tracks, and we're going to play Best in Show, which is one of my favorites. And like you're saying, you have those harmonies on the record, and I'm presuming you did all the harmonies and then mixed it all together yourself. That's amazing. And did you think of getting anyone else's voices in there, or you were happy to do all the voices yourself?
I kind of thought about it, but it was the pandemic, and I mostly only thought about it because the way that I recorded it was being alone in my room and then recording each line 50 times and then recording the next line 50 times and then doing that over and over, and then you just start sitting there going crazy, being like, was that one good? Was that one good? Was that one any good? Am I good at this? So I kind of got, if you were in a studio, a producer would be like, that one was shit, that one's good, don't do that, do this. Yeah. But being on my own, I started to get like, I'm going a bit crazy. So I thought about getting other people. But after playing with X's, next year is our 10-year anniversary as a band. Ooh. So I think it was really important for this record to be like, this is me and what I sound like.
Yeah.
Just me.
Well, that's the beauty of a solo record, is that you can get sick of doing it yourself, but you're only getting sick of it yourself. You're not making anyone else listen to it, so you can do it 50 times, and that's fine. I love it.
True, exactly.
Best in Show, what is it about as well? What would you say? I know, obviously, you can tell from the lyrics it's about sort of...
Because I'm reading you my diary.
Being a musician in the hospitality industry, as you said earlier, is a big part of this. Is that sort of where this one came from?
This one is about falling in love with someone who is in an open marriage. Oh. And I know that's a surprise. And touring with that person, and tour is a made up thing. When you're in love on tour, time stands still because you've both got no responsibilities in the world whatsoever. Mm. And so everything can be heightened and romantic. And then you come home to your house and you have to like take the bins out on a Tuesday and do your dishes, and you kind of get smacked back with the reality of it. And that's what this song's about.
Well, we're chatting about Baby Velvet here on the Tuck Shop on 2SER, and we're going to play Best in Show. You'll stick around and have a few bit more chat after this.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear me say, I got a wife and kid? Maybe you misheard me. Maybe I never did. I got a family and I got a home. I don't know what love is when I...
From their debut record, Please Don't Be in Love with Someone Else. That is Baby Velvet and Best in Show. And we've got Hannah, aka Baby Velvet, on the line right now. Hi again, Hannah.
Woo-hoo. Hi.
You're still rocking along to your own music. I love it. That's how it should be.
I like that song. I think that song's fun.
Oh, it is so great. And definitely one of my favorites on the record. That line in there, as we're saying, room service and hotel rooms is all I can offer you. That whole touring vibe, I read that you love touring, but did you really get room service? Was that a thing that you would get very often when you were touring?
Oh, God. My favorite thing with X's would be, so we did a couple of tours where we would travel to America and then so once was the Midnight Oil tour, once we did South by Southwest, and they were such short stints. So you wouldn't acclimatize to the new time zone because you'd sleep during the day and then you'd do the show and you'd stay up all night and then you'd sleep and you kind of never got used to it. But the best bit would be to come back to your Airbnb or hotel at 6 a.m. and then order room service and then fall asleep and forget that you ordered it and wake up and there'd just be pancakes and all of us waking up being like, woo, pancakes, what a treat.
Wait, what do they deliver it? Oh, you mean not sleep? sleeping like overnight, just like for an hour or so, and then they turn.
Oh yeah, like you just pass out and you forget that you'd ordered room service and you just go to sleep and wake up to the knock on the door.
I've seen that sad thing where I walk home late at night, you know, and you get 3-4 in the morning and you see like a package on the front step of someone's house and it's like, oh no, they've ordered, you know, Uber Eats or something and they've forgotten.
And they forgot. But then you get breakfast kebab.
As long as nothing else has grabbed it on the way, yeah. I love the humor that you and Alana and Georgia and Katie all bring to all their exes. And obviously there's a lot of wit and humor that you've brought into your own record as well. Although tied in with some pretty heavy topics as well. Did you approach the writing of these songs different to the songs that you'd contribute to your exes' stuff?
Sometimes, yes. Sorry, I had to think about that. Yes, in that... a lot of the time with exes, because you are playing with acoustic instruments, the four of them, so there's a lot of thought that would go into what can you achieve live and what will sound best live. But I guess, you know, the heart of all of my songwriting is that it's folk or pop songwriting, so that you know, hopefully can translate across the board. But, you know, mostly I just sing about my breakups and my feelings. So, you know, that kind of translates to both projects.
Sure. I do remember at Blues Fest you announcing how many, all four of you were singing about different songs about different guys. And I think someone commented, like, how many breakups have you had? You know,
how many people can you date? Come on, get it together. We did a show at Brunswick Ballroom in Melbourne and we said, all our exes live in Brunswick. Put your hands up if you've dated us. And it was, you know, it was pretty shocking. My parents were there. They were shocked.
That's classic. Oh, boy. Now, I mentioned at the top that, you know, musicians generally start solo. That's where you begin when you're young. And I'd love to go back to when some of your first memories were of listening to and then making music. What are your earliest memories of that?
So I'm a really big grunge and punk rock fan.
Yeah.
And as a 13-year-old, I became obsessed with Grinspoon, Killing Heidi, Jebediah. And I used to make my dad take me to all of the shows in Melbourne. So I went to every Freezer show, every all-age show. I had, like, spiky hair and a dog collar and just was obsessed. And so when I first started playing guitar, I was playing just, like, power chords and learning how to play just Jebediah songs, really. That's kind of all I did. And then kind of got more into pop music. Like, I got deep into the Beatles, just like classic shit that people get into. And then wrote more and more. And I, for whatever reason, believed that you had to study jazz to become a musician and you couldn't do it any other way. So I went to uni and I studied jazz improvisation.
Oh, amazing.
And that's where I met Georgia Mooney, who's in the band. And we both dropped out after 2 years because we were both like, I don't actually listen to jazz. I don't know why we're doing this. Let's start a folk band.
I mean, jazz, like, I love jazz, but I guess it's a hard style to play and there's probably not a lot of, you know, audiences out there for it. But did you translate some of the stuff you learned from the jazz, obviously, into folk and into pop and into the rock stuff as well?
Well, for 2 years, you just got weekly singing lessons and weekly drum lessons and weekly piano lessons. So, sure. You know, like, we naturally got better at playing music. I think that with any style that you're learning, you have to love it. Like, you have to be obsessed. You're only going to learn something and be good at it if you're really, really, like, I love folk music and I listen to it naturally all the time. So I want to play it versus us trying to force ourselves to listen to, like, me and Georgia forcing ourselves to listen to jazz and listen to, you know, things that we wouldn't have naturally gone to. But skill-wise, we would have got better.
Yeah, yeah. I guess, you know, and you'll know, learn all those minor arpeggios and, you know. Oh,
I've got that all down.
I hope you've also met people like Kevin Mitchell and Phil Jamison now from those bands that you loved when you were a kid. You know, have you ever...
Oh, my God. Me and my sister always say... whenever we talk about, like, who's the most perfect man, and we'll always be like, Kevin Mitchell. There is nothing wrong with Kevin Mitchell. He is a perfect man.
I love that. Have you met Kevin?
We've done a couple of shows with him.
Cool.
And he's just an angel. So is Phil. He's just, you know, a bit more of a fun party boy.
True. I asked you about your, I guess, where you started musically and wise, because I know that you're involved with Girls Rock Australia, which is just a fantastic initiative I've seen in Canberra. I sort of wasn't really involved, but I knew the people who ran it in Canberra back in, I feel like 10 years ago now. But you're sort of on the, are you on the board? Are you like a member of Girls Rock and get involved very heavily? Can you tell us about that?
I've joined a cult that is Girls Rock, and I just want to preach the good word of it every day because I think it's the best thing in the whole world.
Yes, it is.
I'm on the board, which is in Melbourne, and I teach at the camps, which we haven't unfortunately been able to do in the last few years because of COVID.
Yeah.
But when we do them, you do 5 days where girls, trans and non-binary kids aged between about 11 to 17 get to come on camp for 1 week. And they learn an instrument, and then they get put in a band, and that band has to write a song. And then we do different workshops and tutorials, and bands play at lunchtime.
It's the best.
It's the best. And then on the Friday night, you put on a performance at the Northcote Social Club, and each band plays their one song that they wrote. And it'll be like 12-year-olds singing about smashing the patriarchy, and they're like, big dads are in the audience getting really into it. And honestly, it just melts your heart. It's the best thing in the world.
Oh, so great. I love that concept of, and especially because sometimes they come in having never, well, a lot of them probably never played an instrument, never sung, and then getting involved, knowing, learning that they can figure it out and do it, and then they get to the end. I hope you've heard some really great stories from that, like, you know, people who've come through that program and then continued to make music. Have you sort of kept in touch with some of the students who've gone through?
Well, actually, weirdly, in my previous life, I was a band manager, and I've just taken on a band again. So I'm managing a band called the Vovos, and they're a 5-piece punk band. They're all 18, and they're from Girls Rock.
Yes.
That's where they formed.
That's so good.
And then they met years ago, and I've been following them for a while and just thought, you know, why not get involved? They're so good.
The Vovos, not to be confused with the Volvos or the Iced Vovos.
Just the Vovos.
Love that.
I love them.
Our show is called The Tuck Shop, and for us it's sort of about celebrating, you know, simple times at school when you sort of line up at the tuck shop and order something for little lunch. And we like to ask our guests, I guess, what your memories are of your own tuck shop at school, what your favourite things to order were. Do you have any memories of that when you were at school?
I think I have a lot of memories of my mum was my primary school teacher and then at some point my principal.
Oh, wow.
So I have lots of memories of, calling her mummy in front of everybody, you know, like being like a little kid, being like, mummy, can I have money for the canteen? You know, and that was pretty embarrassing. but definitely loved a lunch order. Loved it.
Get the paper bag, you know, write it down, hand it in. I was always asked at the beginning, like, do people call them canteens or, you know, cafeterias? I was tuck shop in primary school and then it became a canteen later. So
are you from New South Wales?
Yeah.
Is it a New South Wales / Victorian thing to call it a canteen and a tuck shop?
Maybe. I'm not sure. When I was in Canberra, I lived in Canberra as well for a while, and we called it the caff. But only when we were in year 11 and 12 and we went to college, we called it the caff. It was like cool then.
Would 3-year-olds in Canberra call it the caff?
Nah.
Okay.
probably the tuck shop, or I guess. I don't know if I think it's still going around. Oh, we're trying to keep that name going anyway here.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm going to start calling it the tuck shop from now on. Don't worry. When I go to school, tuck shops, which I do regularly, obviously.
Well, you are about to embark on a really great tour around Sydney. We've got you're at the Vanguard, really close to my house, so I'm going to be there on the 21st of July. I can't wait.
Come down to Sydney.
Yeah, I can't wait. And Thirroul on the 23rd of July as well. Great. Frank's Wild Years, such a great little spot there. Back at the Northcote Social Club on the 4th of August, the Bridge Hotel in, is it Kyneton? Kyneton?
Oh, Castlemaine.
Castlemaine, yeah, okay. And then 12th of August at Point Lonsdale. That's a cool little tour. You must be excited to get out there and play this album to people.
Oh, my God, I'm so excited. We're just about to announce this week playing in Canberra on the 22nd of July too, which will be really fun. But I have a 5-piece band, and they're all incredible musicians. They play in amazing bands themselves. And we're going to do pre-production and have 4 days of learning all the parts and the trying to match the album, but then we've learnt to Shania Twain song as a cover, and it's just going to be as fun as we can make it.
Oh, it sounds amazing. So jump onto Baby Velvet's socials, find those links, get the tickets, and go and see Baby Velvet do this first time playing the album to people. Is that first show? Is that what you've done it already? I think you played, or have you done the album at all yet? Not yet. Well,
I've done lots of support shows with trios, so I haven't done a full show yet. This will be it. Sydney's actually the first one of tour as well.
Exciting. The Vanguard's a great little venue as well, so it'll be fun to play down there. Well, we better wrap it up. And before we go, I'm going to play another great favorite from the album, which intrigues me a little, this one. It invokes some really interesting imagery. It's called Silver Vision. It sort of has cocaine, sleeping naked, 3 a.m. on a New Year's Eve, and then staying home and washing your hair. It's a pretty fun track. Can you tell us about this one?
I went on my favorite holiday that I've ever been on with a big group of friends in Sydney, and I had a romance with this person who I kind of had a long-term romance with before, and I don't know, it was just drawn out. And when they broke up with me, they sent me a text message saying, "We're breaking up and I'm actually too busy to explain why." and we never spoke again after that. And that song is kind of about like, "I'm sorry, I'm too busy. I'm washing my hair that night. I've got too much on to explain to you why this isn't going to work." So, tongue in cheek about that.
Well, I love it. And that's sort of the theme across the record, is that we're talking about personal and sometimes heavy stuff, but in a lighthearted and fun way. And it's a beautiful record. Congratulations on it. Thank you so much for talking to us here at the Tuck Shop. Go and see Baby Velvet and go and listen to the record everywhere. Just play it on repeat for your group house. Please Don't Be in Love with Someone Else is the name of it. Thank you so much for joining us, Hannah.
Thank you so much for having me.